Reading Matthew chapter 1 and 18 to 25. It's page 807 in the church Bibles. Let's hear God's word. As Matthew writes about the birth of Jesus, this is what he says. He says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' And Joseph woke from sleep. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Amen, and may God bless to us this reading from his word this morning. So we've been going through Luke's Gospel in the morning, but we're going to go back to Luke chapter 2 this morning and read the first seven verses, and that's page 857 in the church Bibles. Famous words of Luke, Luke chapter 2 verse 1: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. "And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." Amen. I was in the car this week and listening onto the radio, and there was a program came on the radio, and I think it might have been Radio 2, it was "Who is missing this Christmas? Who is missing this Christmas?" And it was quite a kind of emotional program, because it was talking about people for whom Christmas was a difficult time of year because they were missing someone important to them, someone significant in their lives. And for example, they got in contact with someone who was working in the armed services, and they were out in another part of the world. And they actually got a sort of radio link, telephone link to a wife so she could speak to her husband who was out in the Middle East. And, you know, it was quite emotional. And she was missing him at this Christmas time, as were the rest of the family. And it strikes me that Christmas sometimes is a time, because it's often presented as a time for families and togetherness and all the rest of it, it's a time when sometimes people feel acutely when someone's missing. Maybe it's a member of our families who's no longer with us. Maybe someone's died. Maybe someone's just far from us because of work. And we feel that. And it was quite an interesting program. Who is missing this Christmas? I thought it was quite a handy title. Certainly here in Luke's Gospel, as he writes these words at the beginning of chapter 2, Luke wants us to be wants to make sure that we don't miss the most important person at Christmas. He wants us to make sure that we don't miss the significance of who Jesus is and the significance of his birth. Well, there's a lot we could say about these verses, but let me just say three things very briefly this morning. The first thing he highlights, I think, is the historicity of Jesus' birth. Luke, and we thought about that a few weeks ago, Luke was someone who was serious about history. He researched his gospel. He didn't just make up a story. He researched things. He spoke to people. And right at the beginning of this account of Jesus' birth, he roots it in an historical context. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And the point of those details is to help us understand that Jesus Christ was born at a specific time and place in human history. Luke is not writing a kind of fable or a legend. He's writing an historical account. He's telling us that in Jesus Christ, the Creator God is invading human history. Now, when you start speaking like that, that can make people feel a wee bit uncomfortable. People don't like that. I was reading the Church of Scotland moderator's message this week, and he completely body-swerved the historicity of Jesus' birth. And what a lot of people say today is, of course, the Gospels, these are wonderful stories, and but you know, they're like parables, they're myths, they're legends, they didn't really happen. But what Luke is saying here is that at Christmas, God stepped into human history. The manger, the miracles, the resurrection, the story of Jesus is not just a story. It actually happened. That goes against what lots of people believe. Every reader of the New Testament knew that either these were fabricated lies or they were eyewitness accounts. They couldn't be legends. If they were lies, then they were stupid lies, because they were written down in the lifetime of the people who were there. The point of Christmas is that Jesus Christ had a real birth. He really lived, he really died, he really rose again. This happened in human history. He did these things, he said these things. Some people say, well, what's the big deal with that? I meet people who say to me, well, oh, David, I like the teachings of Jesus. I like the meaning, the deep meaning of these stories. The meaning of these stories that we should love one another and serve one another and be nice to one another. I like that, they say. But, you know, David, it doesn't really matter if these things happened or not. Because doctrine doesn't matter. What really matters, ultimately, is you're just a nice person, you're a good person. And the irony of that is that that in itself is a doctrine. It's called the doctrine of justification by works. When somebody says that, they're saying it doesn't really matter that Jesus actually lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we should have died. All that matters is that we can follow his teaching. That's a doctrine that says, I'm not that bad. I don't need someone to come and be good for me. I can be good. I'm not so cut off from God. God is not so holy that there has to be punishment for sin. Luke tells us something very different. He's writing about the good news of a Saviour who's come and stepped into human history. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, crucified, dead, buried, who rose again on the third day. The historicity of Jesus' birth. But secondly, and quickly here, the humanity of Jesus' birth. That's the other thing I think that strikes us here. It's the sheer orderliness of the whole thing. You read those seven verses, there's nothing supernatural. Yes, Jesus' conception was supernatural. He was born of the Holy Spirit, but his birth was a natural human birth. Jesus entered this world like everyone else. He experienced our humanity from the womb to the grave. Because he came to take our place. The writer of the Hebrews tells us that we do not approach a God who is distant or far away or aloof, but one who has entered into our human existence. And so as we come to him, we come not to a distant God. We come to a God who knows what it's like to be human. Not in the way that I know what it's like to travel to the moon, because I've read a first-hand account by Neil Armstrong. But no, in the sense of actually experiencing things first hand, knowing things not just from the outside, but from the inside. Jesus Christ was made like us in every way, but without sin. And so when we pray to a God who knows us, who knows our troubles and knows our difficulties. The humanity of Jesus' birth. And thirdly and finally here, the humility of Jesus' birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger. Jesus' beginnings were humble, to say the least. He was born, as it were, amongst the animals. He was laid not in a cot or in a bed, but in a feeding trough. At the beginning of his life, there was no room for him, as it were, in human society. He was excluded. He was left out. John says in his gospel, he came to his own and they received him not. He didn't enter this world in the lap of human luxury, but amidst poverty and squalor and dirt and filth. Luke tells us that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths. And later on in Luke's gospel, Jesus, at the end of the gospel, Jesus is again wrapped in cloths. Luke chapter 23. Joseph of Arimathea takes the body of Jesus, wraps it in a linen cloth and lays it in a tomb. Because that's where the humility of Jesus takes him. It takes him to the coldness and the emptiness of a borrowed tomb. Who is missing this Christmas? You may be missing someone important. Or are you missing Jesus, the most important person? The real Jesus. The real Jesus who knows our humanity. The real Jesus who stepped into human history. The real Jesus who stooped down into our world in humility. Make sure it isn't Jesus you're missing this Christmas. Make sure he's at the centre, not only of your Christmas, but of your life. Make sure that you worship him and adore him who was born the King of Angels and the Saviour of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into our world. We thank you that he came and took to himself our flesh and blood. We thank you that he was real and that he came to secure a real salvation for us. We thank you that he came in humility, that he made himself nothing, a servant, and was obedient to death, even death on a cross. Lord, help us to put him at the centre of our lives and the centre of our Christmas as we give you thanks and praise through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.